Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the praise team. Thank God for Elder Holden leading the service off. Thank God for each one of you. You know it's by grace that we're here. Nobody had a guaranteed ticket to be in the sanctuary today. But God in his mercy spoke mercy over our households. And we're here by his grace. So let's pray and then we'll read the scripture. Heavenly Father, in the name that's higher than any other name, in the precious name of Jesus, we come, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we come just as we are. We come not for show. We're not here to put flesh on display. We're not here to try to use big words. Lord, we're just here, hallelujah, with hearts full of gratitude because you are an awesome God. Hallelujah. And beside you, there's no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just come just as we are, Lord. Hallelujah. Because we know that you are a gracious God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. For the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your word says that your name shall be praised. You are a shield and exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Indeed, you are a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, Lord. We praise you. We lift you up. We extol you. We worship you. And we worship you with whatever we got, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you are worthy of maximum glory in the sanctuary, Lord. So we praise you, Lord. We honor you. We thank you, Lord. And we just stand in awe. And Lord, we humbly ask that you open up heaven over Bread of Heaven Church and that you have your way. Bless every soul in this place. Hallelujah. And if it had just been one person, hallelujah, that blood still would have been shed on Calvary's tree. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Look at the handheld paper-based monitor that you have in your hand. And we're going to skip down to the second page on the back, verse 26. This, of course, is talking about the 12 spies that went out to check out the promised land, to do some reconnaissance work. And they came back with two reports, a minority report and a majority report. We're just going to talk about from the topic, when God says move. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 26 of Numbers, the 14th chapter. 13th chapter, I'm sorry. 13th chapter. Hallelujah. Numbers 13:26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where or whither thou sentest, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there In other words, we saw some giants there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature." Hallelujah. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It's ridiculous, but that's what they said. We trust God will bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Now, we got the measurements of Goliath, who was 9'9". He was a giant. So let's just give them the benefit of that and say these people were 10 feet tall, okay? Now, they said we were like grasshoppers. Now, I don't know what kind of grasshoppers they had back then, but the grasshopper at best came to their ankles. Yeah, came to their ankles. But they gave the report that we are like grasshoppers, which was not accurate, which was their opinion. It may have been factual that they were what were considered giants in stature. But what they don't know is that God told them to possess the land. What does that tell you? God had already spied out the land. He wouldn't tell them to go somewhere so they could get slaughtered. And they came back with an evil report based on what they saw, not based on faith. Then in the next chapter, they get to trying to rebel against Moses. And they say, "Let's appoint captains so we can go back into Egypt. Let's go back into slavery." Now God told them to possess the promised land. But rather than do what the Lord said, they were willing to go back and be slaves again. Hallelujah. Rather than do what the Lord said. But Caleb and Joshua, we find out earlier in the chapter, around verses 6 and 8, that Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. That Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. And they were chosen among the 12. Now, this was orderly. God had told them to get representatives of the 12 tribes. They went. Now, it was all these big millions of giants, these big giant, impenetrable cities, but somehow they were there 40 days and they came back whole. None of them had a scratch on them. None of them had been beaten. None of them had any arrow wounds. None of them had been stabbed with a sword. None of them had been hit with a ball and chain. None of them had been in prison. But yet their report was that these people are bigger than the promise that God gave to our forefathers. Hallelujah. And it gets even sadder in the next chapter, 14. They started the rebellion, and then Joshua and Caleb spoke to the people and said some powerful words at verses 8 and 9 of Numbers 14. "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." It means it's a very fertile land. 14:9. "Only rebel," this is the part I like, "only rebel not ye against the Lord Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed for them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They are bread for us. Because we are connected to God, and God told us to possess them, they are toast. Hallelujah. But we don't always believe, hallelujah, the report of the Lord. We are so willing to ascribe to the enemy some kind of great mythical powers. Hallelujah. Because, and listen how it is now. It's easy to spectate. It's easy to murmur against leaders, but there was a price for it. We see in this next chapter, in verse 37, Numbers 14:37, that the other 10 spies who were leading the rebellion against Moses, they just dropped dead of a plague. Hallelujah. We don't want to miss what God has for us because we don't believe him. You know, I believe if I had been among those 12, and if I had been one of the 10 that didn't believe, I think I would have kept my mouth shut rather than to speak against what God had said and speak against God's leaders. I would have just kind of tried, unless they cornered me, to just keep my mouth shut and see what would happen, because we never want to be fought speaking against God's anointed. Even David, when he had to jump on Saul, felt bad that he had cut off his tassel of his robe. Hallelujah. Praise God. When the Lord says move, you got to move. You in an unwholesome relationship, you got to move. You've been spending a lot of time running your mouth about this and that. Hallelujah. Ungodly. You allowed yourself to get involved in gossip or let people gossip to you. It doesn't matter what it's about. Hallelujah. The word speaks against it. We don't want to be found speaking ill of our brothers and sisters. What should we do when we find our brothers and sisters overtaken in the fault? Those who are spiritual are supposed to go to such a one in the spirit of meekness and restore them. Hallelujah. Considering our own self, that we're subject to need some restoration one day. And then put them on the altar. Pray for them. You find yourself getting ready to gossip, turn it into a prayer for your brother or your sister. Don't be so quick. Hallelujah. And one of these verses in here, I think it's in that next, no, it's in the chapter before, chapter 12, where Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brothers, started murmuring against him. And it got bad. And Moses, the Lord said, let's get it right. Give me a second. You see these gray hairs? I'm not as quick as finding scripture as I used to be, but stay with me. We're going to get it right. It's this 12th chapter. Yeah, we almost there. We're fumbling around in the name of Jesus. Okay. I'm going to get it. How was it? Yeah, Numbers 12. Moses told his siblings, Aaron and Miriam. Now God spoke to Aaron and Miriam and said, how is it that you were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How is it that you've gone so far? Did you forget about the 10 plagues in Egypt? Did you forget how I turned the Red Sea into dry land for you to safely cross, and then the Egyptians who were pursuing you they were drowned in the sea, that the sea closed. Have you forgotten so quickly? Praise God. And who was it that I used to lead you out of Egypt? Who was it that when you were at the Red Sea, he said, Moses, what you got in your hand? And he stretched out his rod and the sea parted. Hallelujah. And so we got to understand, praise God, it's not what it looks like. Be careful that you don't miss what God has for you because you're running your mouth about something you don't really know all the answers to. Hallelujah. You're talking about it based on what it looks like instead of what God said about it. They're dealing with their emotions, praise God. Hallelujah. You should not be led by your emotions. I'm not trying to downplay the fact that we get hurt, the fact that we get scared and all of that, praise God. But let's not speak out of that. Let's be bound by the word of God. Hallelujah. Because your emotions won't save you. Your emotions won't, hallelujah, cause you to do the right thing. 9 times out of 10, it won't. But the word of God, if you look at that as your compass, as your marching order, as your GPS spiritual system, hallelujah, you find yourself apologizing to people you don't want to apologize to. You'll find yourself taking stuff you really don't want to take. You'll find yourself speaking a soft answer when somebody's going off on you and talking to you crazy. You'll find yourself walking in some footsteps that you can't walk in your own strength, but because you trust God and his word, you're able to do it. And to do it with the joy of the Lord, praise the Lord. And then when it comes time to start some murmuring and complaining, if you don't know what else to do, you better back up and praise the Lord. Don't get caught up in that. It's not productive. All it's going to produce is some bad consequences that you don't want. You don't want a chapter a 14 situation in your life, hallelujah, because you know better than God. You know better than the man God put in leadership position. You're just operating in your emotions, perhaps, or your fears, praise the Lord. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, does that not mean we don't have our moments? A car come over into your lane about to hit you head on. Yeah, you're going to have a little fear. Something go wrong, phone ring at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got somebody in the hospital. Yeah, you'll have some moments, praise God. But that's not what we operate in. That's not what propels us. That's not what we live by. That's not what we stay in, praise God. Hallelujah. When God says move, we move, praise God. Hallelujah. No matter how big it looks, praise God. And you know, so many times things are magnified in front of our eyes through our emotions, right? Yeah. We want it to be easy. Well, God in his word said X, Y, Z, so that means it's going to be easy. No, he told them to possess the land, and they had people already there. With walled cities, some of them were some pretty big boys. They called them giants. Hallelujah. They had opposition lined up. Sometimes when the Lord leads you to do something, and one way to tell if it's from the Lord is to find out whether it's going to be easy or not. If it's too easy, then maybe God didn't tell you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we need the Lord in the tough times. In the times when we feel overwhelmed, when the time we don't have the answers, when the times we attempted to murmur, the times we just, Lord, what's going on? What are you doing? I've been praying, hallelujah, and it seems like heaven is silent. Lord, will you lead me? Will you show me, praise God? And sometimes the only answer we get is to open up that word, and what does God say? And while you're waiting for further instruction, do something biblical. When you're waiting for God to speak, Hallelujah. Praise God. Perhaps through a preacher or something like that, or in your prayer time. Hallelujah. To God give you an unction about something, whether you can trust this person or that person, or whether this is the person you should confide in, or whether you should confide in anything, anybody but the Lord. Hallelujah. You've been praying about, Lord, I need somebody to talk to. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want my business on the internet. I don't want it on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God might give you an unction, might make you think about somebody you hadn't thought about in 10 years. Praise the Lord. And then you might be led to do that. Praise the Lord. But unless you are led, hallelujah, just keep on giving your confidential information to the Lord until you have a relationship that God will bless, that will allow you to speak to somebody about something that might be intensely personal, something, hallelujah, that you don't have the answer to, something that you need, hallelujah, to get to cast out of yourself and cast onto that altar because it's been bothering you, it's been stressing you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And some things don't need to be told to everybody. Praise the Lord. Some things don't need to be broadcast across the church. Praise the Lord. Some things need to be dealt with discretion, with the leading of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember one time we had a brother's meeting. Praise the Lord. And then a brother. Please don't try to identify who it is. This has been some years ago. That brother is not here in this assembly, praise God, but he felt the need to talk about something that was kind of crazy, you know, kind of, I mean, it was serious, but it was something that would not really bless anybody, the details of which he went on, and finally, I had to use some discretion and kind of call him to side and say, you know, okay, we get it, you know, because there are some things, praise the Lord, that you tell people and it could become an impediment to them, perhaps even a stumbling block. And certainly, if it's not blessing them, why keep talking about it? So we have to ask God for help. Sometimes we need something that looks like it's all right might not be all right, right? One time, and again, years ago, a sister was having a problem with a family, and there's nobody here today, nobody who has been here since 2013. She was having a problem with the family where she worked as a caregiver. And the woman she was caring for was mad at her. I don't know why. I didn't investigate. I didn't cross-examine. She told me that. And that because of that, they got another caregiver, and she had to go somewhere else, right? And I could tell she was mad about it. She's mad at the family, mad at the sick woman, the woman who was practically on her deathbed, mad at her. And I said, okay, let's pray about it. And then 2 weeks later, the lady died. Now, the family is mad at her, furious at her. And she said, Pastor Perkins, should I go to the funeral? I said, if you think it will bless somebody, she wasn't going to bless nobody. I do my best with this kind of stuff that comes up, saints. Hallelujah. But when you have a man of God like Moses, who was on the backside of the desert for 40 years, the Lord had him in incubation. Hallelujah. He himself thought he couldn't talk, but it didn't matter. Hallelujah. The Lord had him in incubation for 40 years on the backside of the desert. The Lord was getting him prepared. He was keeping his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can be faithful over a few things, and then God will make you ruler over many. David anointed to be king, but he went back to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. And not only did he go back to the sheep, he started killing lions and bears when they were messing with the sheep. Hallelujah. I don't know any other shepherd that has that testimony. But he had to be faithful. That was looked at as a low job. He's the lowest, he's the youngest in his family. They didn't put the big boys out there who could probably do a better job of it out there. It was considered a lowly job. But he was anointed to be king. And after he got anointed to be king by the man of God, Samuel, he went back to the sheepfold and was faithful over there. And when God sent, when his dad sent him an errand to take some provisions to his brother, he stumbled on that Goliath scene. And God used him that way. Still wasn't king. Still had to run from Saul for about 10 years or more. Some say 15 years running from Saul for something he didn't do. Because somebody else sung a song that he didn't write. Saul has killed thousands, and David has killed tens of thousands. He didn't even write the song. He didn't sing the song. It almost got him killed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be bad to be a songwriter? Beautiful songs to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then somebody else write and sang a song and almost get you killed and get you chased for at least 10 years. Hallelujah. But he was faithful over a few things. And later, when God said it, not what it looked like when he was hiding in caves, not what it looked like when he would wake up in the morning and not be sure exactly which of those four deserts he was in. Hallelujah. But when God had it, he just kept on doing what he was. He would not kill Saul. He had two golden opportunities to kill. He would not kill him. Just like Caleb and Joshua would not speak against Moses, would not speak about against what God had said for them to do, which is to possess the land. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to move and it's against the odds. Hallelujah. When the Lord called me to preach, it wasn't no like one-time thing. It was dreams. It was unction. Here I was, the quietest person you would ever know. Had stage fright, wouldn't speak against people, was in school to become a lawyer, but I knew I wasn't going to be a trial lawyer because I could never do it. In the middle of that, in the middle of law school. Hallelujah. Lord called me to preach. I fought it. I didn't want to do it. It didn't seem like something I would ever be able to do. Hallelujah. And I just do what I can do, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm not claiming anything great. But I obeyed. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I didn't say to the Lord, well, I can't talk. I didn't say to the Lord, I may have said, are you sure? But the thing about it is when you serve the Lord, you want to be always found serving the Lord. Does gossip serve the Lord? Don't get involved in it. It doesn't serve the Lord. It serves emotions. And now, everybody in here, don't raise your hand. Sometimes it's such a thrill to hear a juicy piece of gossip. It's like, do tell. You got some more details for me? And what did he say after that? You know? That's natural. That's human. You're not a bad person because you have that instinct. But what I'm saying is, in order to glorify God, in order to walk with him, in order to grow in the Lord, in order to give him what he's due, we should refrain from that. We should refrain from that. We should refrain from being spectators in the church. Hallelujah. What you mean by that, Pastor? Hallelujah. Just being, you know, like you're watching TV. 15 minutes in. Usually at about 12 minutes, y'all eyes start to glass over. At about the 12-minute mark. Y'all think about, okay, where we going for brunch? Your eyes start to glass over at about 12 minutes every Sunday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But spectating, like you're watching TV, and then say, you know what? this is not my kind of movie. This is not my kind of sermon. And tuning out. Hallelujah. And nobody knows you tuned out because y'all are nice, sweet people, right? You don't want to just look like, you know, you don't want to be on the front row snoring while I've had that happen. But but you don't want to do me like that, you know. You try, you're pinching yourself, trying to stay alert and all of that. But it's just human nature that after a while, hallelujah, that spectator spirit would come up and just like, you know, he hadn't said nothing to thrill me, so, you know. My mind's going to wonder about everything. Don't spectate in the church. Count it a privilege. There will come a day, maybe, when you can't come to the church, when you don't have the strength. Something has happened in your body. You can't come to the church. And then you remember that these really are the good old days, praise God, when we gather together in the name. We got some people out. My wife is traveling, some others. Deacon Rod, not feeling well this morning. Some others are not here. Praise the Lord. We thank God for them. But we have to show up and trust God and believe he's going to do something. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when in the final analysis, you know, I might be up here 30 minutes or whatever, 35 minutes. It might be two or three sentences or one sentence that really hits home. That you take from here. I think it was last week, Elder Brasher, when I was talking about jailbreak, and I said all these different kind of breaks. We need a heartbreak break. We need to get a break from a depression break. And we need all these kind of breaks, and talking about a jailbreak in the book of Acts, praise God. And then at one moment, the last one I said, Elder Brasher was standing up in the back, and I said, we need an exhaustion break. And our eyes locked, because we both have to deal with that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that might just be what he took with him, that God Almighty knows we get tired. And hallelujah. And then we go through sometimes, we're trying to summon the energy, praise God. I'm at this age, y'all, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm 68. I've been married 46 years to one woman, praise the Lord. She hadn't filed divorce against me yet, praise the Lord. There were times when she wanted to, but I told her as a young man when we first got married, look, you will never hear me use the word divorce. Then the children start coming, four children. Sometimes it was rough, y'all, praise the Lord. Sometimes she'd be mad at me. For whatever, you know. I'm innocent, but whatever. So she'd be mad at me, praise the Lord. And I'd say to her, and I just say it calm, matter of fact. You know, sometimes people will believe you when you are unemotional and dispassionate and you say something that you consider to be a fact. I will never leave you. If you want to get me out of this house, get a court order and I will obey it. But I promise you, I will never do anything that would warrant a court order. I will never leave this house. I will never leave these children, praise the Lord. And if you want to leave, you know, you're grown. I can't stop you. And I began. See, you know, sometimes the Lord will bless you. Let me tell this quick story. It's a testimony. Hallelujah. Remember the topic? Anybody? When God says move. At the 12-minute mark, y'all forget all. So I went to a missionary meeting. And y'all know that missionaries traditionally have been the sisters, right? I went. Why? Because it wasn't a church meeting. It was like almost like a council or something. And I went to the missionary meeting. I'm sitting there on the front row, right? Because I don't want to be on the back seat. I went and sat on the front row, and one of the speakers didn't show up. And they said, Minister Perkins, I want you to talk about the three, talk about what every man owes his wife and what every wife owes her husband. And we need you to start in about 5 minutes. See, innocent, just showed up, trying to support my sisters, right? Yeah, that's right. So I said, I got it real quick. Three things that every man owes their wife. To love their wife. Scripture says we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church. To bless their wives, from Proverbs 31, that if he has a virtuous woman, he will rise up and call her blessed. That means don't talk about her. Don't talk about her with your brother, your cousin, your best friend. Don't you say a word about your wife. She could be railing on you, running you down with her mama and all. Don't you say anything about her. And then I said spiritual leadership. I said carry yourself in such a way that if she had a question about the Bible, she would look to you. Then for the sisters, I said love your husband. Gave a scripture, and then I said, honor him, reverence him. And they said, well, and let me break it down to what that meant. I said this, 5 minutes notice. I still use these points in when I counsel married couples, before marriage and after. I said, make sure that you admire your husband for his good points. That when he leaves the house in the morning, he don't feel 2 feet tall, but he feels 10 feet tall. And that's what I said. And guess what? I took what I said under 5 minutes notice and applied it to my own marriage. Also, one of the things I said in the context of loving my duty to my wife, is that out of those 3 points, we should live with our wives according to knowledge. The scripture says a weaker vessel, and I said, weaker means weaker, but the more sensitive vessel. That's the way I put it, the more sensitive vessel. And I said, am I being sensitive enough as a guy to stuff I don't even understand that she's talking to me about? She's a kindergarten teacher at that time. And she wants to talk about every little snot nose, excuse the phrase, little kid in the thing. I wasn't interested. I really wasn't, and it was wrong. I was wrong. I was really wrong. I had to teach other people a lesson before I got the lesson for myself. And all these years, as a husband, I wanted her to walk a mile in my shoes. But if I love her like Christ loved the church, what does that mean? That's sacrificial. I got to go first. I started doing that. Next thing you know, things start to improve. I stayed out of the doghouse. I didn't need a flea collar anymore. And then we've been married 46 years. We've been through some stuff in our family. We had to bury one of our children. We had no strain on our marriage because of that. And usually that's a strain on marriage. Why is that? Because I started trying to do what I taught other people to do. I put the word of God ahead of my emotions. I want her to understand me. Well, I got to go first. I want her to walk a mile in my shoes. Well, why don't I walk a mile in her shoes first and see if God will bless that? And he did. He blessed it so. Now we can just talk about anything. We're in our golden years. We happy. These are the good old days. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. But the word did it. The word that I was teaching other people about. And whenever I go through something, saints, I go back to my most recent sermons and stuff. And usually I've told y'all something that I need to do. Praise God. That I need to incorporate. That I need to follow more closely. That I need to stand on more strongly. Praise God. And there's something about the story about Caleb. Praise God. He's kind of an underrated hero. Joshua gets all those street credibility. But in the 13th chapter, he alone was the spokesman. In the 14th chapter, they said they spoke together, praise God. But he was the spokesman there. And he said, we're well able to possess the land. And we shall overcome the land, praise God. Hallelujah. He spoke with such boldness and authority. Hallelujah. And I don't think it's an accident that he was from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. The line through which Jesus came. Hallelujah. When God says move. When God says move. It's not about our emotions. Hallelujah. God can be touched. The scripture says Jesus is our great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But it's really not about that. It's about the word of God. It's about what we're going to do. It's about us understanding that he is faithful, that promise. He told them to possess the promised land. He wasn't setting them up for a slaughter. He was setting them up for their inheritance that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise the Lord. And he had kept it through the years, through hard times and snares and stories of near-death experiences. God had blessed, praise God. Even when Isaac was placed on the altar to be an offering, hallelujah, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the angel said, hold up. They looked like giants. And just think of the report that they gave. Not only did they not give a positive report, they said nothing about God. If you are going to give a report and not mention God, it better line up with what God said. They didn't even mention God. They didn't even mention him at all. Next chapter, they're fighting with Moses. Moses didn't make them give that report. They gave that report. Hallelujah. When you are blaming somebody else, like I mentioned earlier, I wanted her to walk a mile in my shoes, Brother Vic. I mean, I was kind of like quietly insisting on that. But I was wrong. Hallelujah. Because I was supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. When you are pushing something, hallelujah, and you're not getting the result, you're not lining up with what God says, then you got to step back and reevaluate. Hallelujah. They were in enemy territory with all these giants, with all these big old giant cities, with all these, sounded like it was a trillion of them by the way they described it. And it was 12 of them. And they were there for 40 days. They went all up and down to the northern extremities of the promised land and came back without a scratch. Complaining, murmuring. Sometimes we ought to ask God to give us a vantage point, right? You don't want to be my age before you figure out what I figured out. Ask God to show it to you, to give you a vantage point now. You know how you go through something and you make a mess of it? And you fly off the handle, you ready to do something to somebody, and then you go back later and say, I shouldn't have done that. What you want God to give you is this vantage point in real time. So when the enemy tries to do a sneak attack, and he will, when something comes out of the blue, you're able to have the vantage point of what does the Word of God say about this? What has God promised us? Hallelujah. Is God sufficient for this situation? Is His Word able to keep me under control under this situation? Hallelujah. The answer is yes. The psalmist asked the question in Psalm, I'm getting ready to sit down. Hallelujah. Y'all can go to and get brunch. The psalmist asked the question in Psalm 78, right around verse 19, talking about the children of Israel in the desert. And he said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And isn't that the question? Can God? Can God help me while my heart is broken? Can God help me when I don't know what to do? Can God help me when I feel so tired and so weak, I'm having trouble getting out of bed? Can God help me, praise God, when I'm having a simple conversation with somebody and they turn it into something else? Can God help me, praise the Lord, when things that people have promised, and you look around and you can't find them? And they ghosting you, you won't respond to anything. Can God help me deal with this in a biblical, godly, mature way today? And sometimes the best thing to do is just hit your knees and say, show me how to handle this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I love the way Caleb responded. He was so bold. He was the minority report. 10 in favor of not possessing the land, 2 in favor of possessing the land. And then 1 chapter left, only they went through all those dangers in the promised land, but they got to messing around with God's business, and that was more dangerous than going up against these enemies. And they dropped dead. Hallelujah. When God says move, when God says forgive, when God says love, when God says apologize, when God says give a soft answer to turn away wrath, hallelujah. When God says we're more than conquerors even though you feel like you don't have any more strength. When God says, hallelujah, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, you can take that to the bank. People may leave you. And you just have to know how to deal with that. But God said he won't leave us. He won't forsake us. Hallelujah. He is faithful, that promise. Hallelujah. And stop being such emotional roller coaster people. And some of us sometimes, I said some of us, I didn't say some of y'all, some of us get on that hamster wheel about something. Some kind of bad habit, some kind of bad attitude, some kind of rut, some kind of pit, some kind of mess, something that we got allowed to get hold of us, some kind of messed up turn in a relationship, and we're on that hamster wheel, praise God, and hallelujah, we have the power to get off, but hallelujah, we're trying to do it in our own understanding and strength. We're trying to deal with it down here. We're trying to deal with it horizontally, and we need to deal with it vertically, give it to the Lord. Ask him to give us the vantage point that Caleb had in real time. Hallelujah. In real time. Praise God. And then in the next chapter, when they were trying to get captains to go back in real time, Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, they are bread for us. If I had had 20 years to come up with a line like that. But in real time, when the rebellion was happening, when they getting ready to take over 1 million people back into Egypt, they said, they are bread for us. Hallelujah. When God says move, God has put on some people's heart a move that they need to make. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Make sure it's the right thing. Make sure it's from the Lord. But don't be scared. And all God's people said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We ask your blessing, your touch, your strength on all your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray.